Today's gospel reading comes from the 21st chapter of Luke. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'm looking around to see. Looks like we're in a child-free zone today. I think that's correct. So. Well, I will. You're okay. But for I gave every child 10 coins. That's about 10. But then I told them they have to give one to God. Okay. So, and the 9 were for them, because everything is a gift, including this is just for everybody. Everybody, take a deep breath and hold your breath as long as me. Ready? I don't want anybody to pass out. But I just did that for the kids as well, to remind them that everything we have is a gift from God, beginning with our breath. And sometimes we forget that, so it's just good to have the reminders. All right, so we're going to use this today. How many of you read our newsletter already? Raise your hand. Okay, so you'll be able to maybe have the answer to this first question. And the question is, the distinctive God-responsive and primary family value of St. Mark Lutheran Church is?
Giving.
Giving, it's a G word, right. But generosity, right. Generosity. And it's kind of googly like that because, you know, when you use PowerPoint, you can do stuff like that. But now, the reason why I want to talk about generosity, there's a guy named Jeff Schinnebarger, and he did this TED Talk. Now, if you're not familiar with TED Talks are people around the world do these presentations. They usually use, you know, visuals of some kind, not always, but usually. And they talk about whatever they're an expert in and things that are changing the world or things that are exciting or leading edge all over the country, different things. So this one was called, "What If We Could Live a Life of Excessive Generosity?" And for him, generosity is to freely give with nothing in return. That's his understanding of generosity. And so as I was thinking about generosity for us and kind of doing a series about that with Ken Anderson and I, he graciously from the council agreed to partner with me. So I'll talk kind of generally about things, and then he'll say some specific things about generosity for how that relates to him. But they're in the middle of the text of our gospel text. Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Now, when I read that, and every time I read that, I like that, "but my words will not pass away." And so that made me think, when he says, "my words will not pass away," what are Jesus's words? for you. So if you were to, we read this text, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. My words are, if you were to put in parentheses, like if you could add a little extra, here's my little interpretive thing on this text. What would you say? How would you fill in the blank? My words, meaning Jesus' words, are what? Hope. What else?
Life.
Grace.
Forgiveness.
Love. Oh, okay. That's the one I was looking for. Okay, I'll get you some later. Well, we're not done with the sermon. You're going to be giving some coins pretty soon. So, but I'll give you some to give back. So that's it. All works out. No, for me, it is love, and it's summed up: love your neighbor as yourself. That's Jesus' bottom line. Love God with everything you have. Love your neighbor as yourself. So, for me, it's that. But it's also hope and give all the other things that were listed. It's all of those things. So the theme for this these Advent is waiting for Jesus. All right, it's Advent, we're waiting for Jesus to come. Yeah, I get that. Well, there's two kinds of waiting. There's this kind, which if you can read that, it says, excuse moi, would you like some cheese with that wine? So it's a waiter. This is supposed to be a Lego waiter. There's that kind of waiting, which is more than just, would you like, how can I help? But it's being a servant. So we're waiting for Jesus. If we're followers of Jesus, that's what we do. We wait for Jesus. We serve in Jesus' name. We go in love in Jesus' name. So it's that kind of waiting. And of course, there's this kind of waiting for Jesus to come again, to be born, and we wait, as Pastor Beth said, for our mural to unfold, to see what Josh has for us as Jesus comes again. So we wait. Then there's another piece that goes with this, and that's this symbol. So Francis Schaeffer was a theologian back in the 50s, very popular. And he drew this to kind of identify how this works with God and us and time. So we're the straight line. And that's, how that works. We go through life, we start, and we finish. We all have different paths, but it's a line. It's a path. That's us. And God is the circle. God is eternal. God is our creator. God was there before we came. God will be there after we're done. And God comes to our now. All the time. So that's what that circle represents, that God can come in at any time, at any moment. And then so in some ways, when we talk about waiting for Jesus, it could also be God is waiting for us. Because that's the promise. God will always be with us. And sometimes that looks like today. You all have come here to church today, and God has been waiting for us. This is our now with God. So that you put all those things together. So as I thought and thought about generosity and kind of thinking about the theme of waiting for Jesus, I came across, and the first thing when I looked up generosity online, I came across this guy right here. Now, who knows this guy? Toby Ord. You shouldn't know him. I mean, if you do, that's great. So Toby Ord is a philosophy professor in England. And he decided, he has a talk, one of these TED Talks that I mentioned, How to Save Hundreds of Lives. And we'll put that link on the web as well, so you can look at that TED Talk. It's fantastic. But what he basically says is, if you spend $1,000, you could, and he gives examples of various ways $1,000 are effective. HIV medication, 1 week. Someone's life is saved for 1 week of medication. Or you use a different kind of medication which can treat certain kinds of blindness. It's $25 a shot. So now you have, you can do whatever that math is. That's, 2,400 people. Or go even further out. Mosquito nets, which the ELCA has participated in to eliminate malaria. Now you're talking about hundreds of lives, thousands of lives being saved with just $1,000. So he said, This is the choice. I could have a great life for me, plus save hundreds of lives, or I could have a great life for me and have some extra luxuries. And he chose a great life for me and save hundreds of lives. And so he's given up half of his income to give away, to save lives. And in 2009, he started an organization and said, who wants to come with me and do this thing? Let's fight extreme global poverty and save lives in a profound way. Hundreds and thousands of lives. So in 2009, that's what happened. So it's called Giving What We Can, launched in 2009. First year, 64 people joined. $21 million was raised. So the idea there, again, is if I give X amount of my income, for him it was $13,000, something like that, or pounds. I don't know what that translates into. But throughout his life, so that he'll have given away $1 million, you know, in his lifetime. So he asked other people to join him. So that first year they did that. By May of 2015, they reached 1,000 members. And by, you know, currently 1,359 members, you know, 5 years later, 6 years later, and $496 million pledged. That's $500 million pledged. That's generous. That's generosity. So he's in a interview, and they say, why Toby, why would you do this? And it's for him, it's very simple. We are equal. That's what he said. We are all equal. Everyone us on the earth is equal. And so if I can save hundreds of lives, that's a great thing. Doesn't mention God, doesn't mention Jesus. We're all equal, he says. And so that made me think about this item right here. Now, this item right here, I've just learned recently on Thanksgiving, is one of the best items of all time. Can you see this item, what it is? Make it out. It's a turkey injector. It's an injector. So I saw this when Beth and I went down to Beth's parents' house for Thanksgiving, and the brother-in-law and the sister-in-law were cooking the turkey, you know. And as you know, I'm an only child, so I'm pretty specific when it comes to eating, and I don't know how it was going to go. Well, that device right there, it was a game changer, because that turkey was just injected with such deliciousness. I can't believe it. So the turkey was fantastic. But, you know, when you have Thanksgiving, just as my perspective again, Thanksgiving is really all about the gravy. This is how I do Thanksgiving. This is not maybe everybody. I have a lake of gravy, and then I have the only items you need to surround the lake is mashed potatoes, lots of that turkey this year, and stuffing, if I like it. And then maybe some Brussels sprouts, which I like, and my mom's deviled eggs, if they're available, or maybe a pickle. But the main ingredient is those things. Oh, that was a really good meal. It was the best meal, and I just kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. That was such a good meal. But this also represents for me God's grace. The love of God that we know is infused into us. God just says, here, take this flavor. You know I love you. And then when you're injected with that, you can't help but ooze it. It's like garlic. God's grace is like garlic. We can't help. Who said amen? So it's like garlic. And I love garlic too. you can't help. If you know God's grace, you're going to be generous. It opens your heart to be generous. It just oozes out. So we have that as an upgrade. So imagine what we could do. We are God's beloved children, infused with grace. And I like this picture because it the stars on the hands, you know, it kind of represents our Creator God created us to do wonderful things, to love greatly, to do amazing things of generosity, like raise $500 million, commit $500 million in 5 years. Amazing. We are all human. We're all equal, Toby says. That's what we believe. All of us go equally down the road together in time. All of us. And I like this image. It kind of encapsulates everything. It's a child holding the world with the, we're waiting for Jesus. God is waiting for us. It's all interconnected. It's all interconnected. So what does that have to do with now? Well, this moment now, generosity to freely give with nothing in return. Those are hands of the world. You know, it's another tie-in. You remember this? Impact Mountain View. Do you remember that when we did that a couple years ago when we first got here? I preached a sermon which you responded to, which is, you know, as a preacher, it's always nice when you respond in some way. But, you know, I said, let's raise $10,000, give a 1,000 hours of volunteer time over at Mountain View. Imagine what difference that could make to the school. Well, it blew them away and made a lot of difference. We gave them over $10,000. We've had lots of volunteer hours. They've come over to the garden, and all the students have learned about how the garden grows food for the food bank, and they learn about fresh nutritional things. My favorite story is still the person who came, the fourth grader who came, and we had a snack because the nutritionist from the food bank is awesome, and always I learned how to eat kale 2 years ago, just so you know, it's awesome. It's good with the dressing. But she was eating a strawberry, and she said, I've never had a strawberry like this in my life. She's 12. Never had a strawberry. Unbelievable. So Impact Mountain View. Well, that was a good start. So here's who you were going to, here's where we're going to talk about what's next. There's Gail, by the way, teaching some of the students, showing, that could be showing them strawberries. These are students across the street. I took this from the North Thurston School District website. I think it's at Mountain View. It might be a different elementary school, but I'm pretty sure it's their new stuff in Mountain View. You know, these are just a bunch of kids who go to that school. I think the next thing is, that's Everest, is that mountain. I think the next thing is an Everest kind of impact. I think that's what's next here in our community. We're going to move from Impact 101 to Impact 401, from the introductory course of working with Mountain View to the greater course, the Mount Everest course. What I know is it takes a team. If you know anything about Mount Everest and climbing, you cannot do it by yourself. You need to have a team for all kinds of reasons, including safety and morality. And when you're climbing the biggest thing in the world, that's especially before 1954, that had never been done before, no one thought, you can't do that. It's too big. It's impossible. It's too treacherous. Well, it's been done. And it requires a team. So I think about that, and I think about the people that I know that want to do Everest kinds of things. When we first arrived, I met Robert Coit, who's the executive director of the Thurston County Food Bank. And we were talking, and it's like, well, I asked him, what's your vision? And he said, eliminate hunger in our community. Now, you know, when I heard him say that, eliminate hunger, I'm thinking, that's an interesting idea, but that's not, I don't know about that. Well, I'm thinking maybe that's possible, especially after reading about Toby. It's possible. You've got to have that big vision to start. I think about rebuilding together, that the Olympia Choral Society is, we're going to do the concerts the 11th, 12th, and 13th in December. And Rebuilding Together is the charity that all the donations will go to help them. And what they do, when we heard the presentation from them, is they help people who have low-income housing who need repairs. they have broken windows, doors that don't work, lots of different things that they can't do by themselves. So it's helping people who are in poverty, lifting them up one house at a time. That's their phrase, a safe and healthy home for every person. I believe that we can do that in this county. Mike Jones is my college roommate. He just became the executive director for the North Thurston Education Foundation. They have $2.4 million right now, and they give out scholarships. They gave out 70-100 scholarships this past year. When I had lunch with him recently and said, well, what are you thinking, Mike, about what's next? He said, I want to give every graduate of North Thurston School District a scholarship. And again, in my pre-Toby Ord, I don't know if that's possible mind, I thought, whatever, Mike. But I think it's possible. On March 19th, in Centralia, the Lutheran Church down there is sponsoring a person named Donna Beagle. This is a person who lived in poverty, generational poverty. She pulled herself out of it, got a PhD, and now she teaches people how it can happen, how to do it. She has a PhD, and that's her sole purpose in life, is to educate individuals, educate school districts, educate churches, educate social service agencies. This is how it happens. This is how it works. This is how we can do this. So that's another thing. That's another piece of this puzzle, the stars, I really believe, lining up. That some of us, $20 a shot on a Saturday, 9 to noon, you'll hear a lot more about it coming, because I'm going, and whoever else wants to come with me is welcome to go. But that's another person, another resource. We can do the change. We can make a difference. The final person is Brenda McAfee. She is the new homeless liaison person for the school district. I just talked with her recently. She was telling me about some of the homeless students that we have, and there's hundreds. And she said, there's a high school student right now who, a girl, living in the woods. That's where she lives. She has nothing, no one, but she's still in school, but she stays in the woods. She told me of some other kids who are living in the cars, with their families, and that's it. And one person in the car, the window is broken, and it was cold last night and the night before and the night before. And so she's working with them, helping them to give them blankets. There's umpteen hundreds of kids who are couch surfing because their family context is horrible because of drugs, because of all of the things that you know about. These are hundreds and hundreds of kids. Thurston County has a homeless plan, and in that plan, a 10-year plan, which started in 2006, their goal was by this year to reduce homeless students in our school districts by 50%. Well, it's gone up 100%. It's time. What do I think we can do? What is our Everest moment? I think it has to do with homeless kids. I think we can help homeless kids in a way that hasn't been done before. I don't know what that means yet. We'll talk more with Brenda, who deals with them on a daily basis. We'll get all of my friend Mike, the food, everything. We'll line everything up. But I think we have an Everest moment. God has infused us with God's grace. So we have God on our side. God is waiting in this season of Advent for us to come. God is ready to give us everything we need to share love and forgiveness, all of the things that we talked about. This is our ELCA logo, God's work, our hands. I believe God has something planned that's big. That's $500 million big. I don't know what that is yet, but I'm ready to use my hands. I'm waiting for Jesus to come, and I'm ready to wait for Jesus to help homeless youth. Amen. Now, Ken is going to follow up a little bit more and talk a little bit more from his perspective about generosity.
This is where you end up when you're at a church council meeting and one of your pastors suggests that he wants to do a series on generosity and you raise your hand. But I'm happy to do it. We also, when Pastor Eric and I met last week, maybe it was earlier this week, but I think it was last week for the first time, decided, well, when would be the appropriate time to talk about generosity? And I guess my thoughts were maybe we should do it after Christmas sometime, maybe the beginning of the new year. But Pastor thought, you know, maybe Advent is an appropriate time to talk about generosity. And the more we discussed it, the more I began to agree that it is an appropriate time, because I do believe that this time of the year, when we're waiting for Jesus, God's greatest gift to us, is a time when we should be thinking about generosity and generosity to God. And I know it's kind of hard to get your mind around that. How do you really do that? How can you be generous? I know that the when you look up in the dictionary or you check other resources to find out about generosity, it often does say things like being willing to give of your time, your assets, and your talents without expecting anything in return. That you do it out of the goodness of your heart. So, you know, maybe this is the appropriate time. And I think this is a time when, you know, Black Friday was just a couple of days ago. People were out spending tons of money buying things for their children or their grandchildren or their spouse or friends. And a lot of it is probably something that those kids, grandkids, spouses, or friends don't really need. I know that in the case of our family, my wife Linda and I discussed with our children and their spouses about Christmas and exchanging gifts, because it was always kind of a hassle. What do you think Jessica wants? And finally you end up maybe getting a gift card or something, and then they send a gift card back to you, and it, in some respects, seems almost pointless. So we came to the decision that instead of doing that, we would make our contributions to some charity. I know that we've done Smile Train, Cancer Society, Diabetes Foundation, and a number of others. And we haven't done as much for the church here as we should. So when Linda and I talked about this year, we said, you know what, we're going to maybe not do as many of those, and we're going to think about St. Mark first. But I know that as Pastor Eric showed you on the screen about getting nothing back or expecting nothing in return, what do you think God expects in return for his generosity to us? I think he does expect at least our love and our giving of our lives to him and helping his church to grow and reach out to the community. I was given this book by Pastor Eric when we were talking, and it's the title of the book is Giving to God. It's by Mark Allen Powell. And the subscript says, the Bible's good news about living a generous life. I was especially taken by some of the motives that this person thinks that people have for giving to the church or giving to God. If I can get my glasses out of my pocket, I want to just read a few of those to you. Just a second. I'm not going to take any more time. But I do recall that two or three of them were about giving to the church in order to gain power or to gain recognition or to gain something for yourself. No, I gave a considerable amount of money to the church, so please recognize me. Please tell me how great I am that I have done something like that for the church. But the greater number of those that he stated in this book were about giving for the sole purpose of feeling good about yourself and feeling good about what you do to help other people. So I got to thinking more in terms of here at St. Mark, what has God provided for us? Certainly our pastors, for which I'm personally very grateful, and our music directors and all our support staff and all the many volunteers that we have in our congregation who give so much of their time and their talent to make our church a growing, living place. We've been truly blessed. And so I guess my thought is that we should think in terms of our time, our assets, and our talents, and do what we can to give back as much as we can. I did have a sort of a short note that I made about that very thing, and I think it's something that we can all think about as we go forward away from here today and live our lives. But I do believe that as we give, so shall we receive. As we give, so shall we receive. And I think that's what we should think about and carry with us as we go forward. I know we have gracious hearts and we have generous hearts, and I know God will appreciate all that we can do to do his work with our hands. Amen.